Let's look in our Bibles this evening to the book of Mark, to chapter 4. The book of Mark, and in chapter 4, I'd like for us to read verses 1 through verse 9. Our subject this evening might sound a little strange, no difference, but yet a difference. Maybe we'll be able to clarify that as we go. Mark chapter 4. Now, began in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." To begin with this evening, I want us to look at a couple of other passages of Scripture. And Lord willing, we'll come back to this in just a moment. But look in the book of Romans, if you would, and in chapter 5. Romans, and in chapter 5. We'll read only one verse of Scripture here, verse 12, Romans 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You might just notice the wording there carefully, that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then in Romans chapter 3, Romans, and in chapter 3 and in verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I read just these two, and that's sufficient evidence to state that by nature, there is no difference in individuals. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All stand in need of the grace of God. All stand in need of that regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God. All stand in need of salvation. But as we look in the Word of God a little bit further, we find that in many different ways there is a difference in individuals. By nature, there is no difference, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet there is a difference that is made in individuals. In 1 Corinthians, and Brother Justice referenced this morning, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and in verse 7, you have that great question of the Apostle Paul. And I could go even beyond that. It's greater than that. It's the great question that the Holy Spirit of God inspired to be recorded here. "Who hath made thee to differ from another?" Who hath made thee to differ from another. If there is no difference, then Paul's question is absolutely meaningless. If there is no difference in individuals, this question is just has no relevance to us at all. But there is a difference between the saved and the unsaved. There is that great difference. There is a difference in individuals. Surely there was a difference between Ishmael and Isaac. A great difference was there. There's a great difference in Jacob and Esau. There was a difference between John and Judas. There was a difference between that rich man and the beggar Lazarus. Again, by nature, there is no difference. All are in the same condemnation. But there is a difference in individuals. Look in the book of 1 John, if you would. In the book of 1 John and in chapter 3, and I'll only read verse 10. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. There is a great difference that is recorded here. I'm going to go now to the book of Exodus in chapter 11. In the book of Exodus and in chapter 11, there is a great statement that is recorded in this chapter in verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And as surely as the Lord did put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel, he has also put a difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. There is, as I've stated many different times, a difference between a sinner and a saint. There is a marked difference. In the book of 2 Timothy and in chapter 2, in 2 Timothy and in chapter 2 and in verse 19, you have mentioned here the foundation of God. The foundation of God. Nevertheless, it says in verse 19 of 2 Timothy 2, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, there are some that are his, and there are some that are not his. And there is a difference between these two groups of people. Now, I'm going back to our text in Mark and in chapter 4. And in verses 1 through verse 8, Jesus makes it very clear in this parable that there is a difference in individuals. Notice, if you would, verse 3 and verse 4. He said, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them. There's a group of people here that are likened unto a hard-trodden highway or a hard path or something that has been beaten down by much traffic. And you can sow seed here, but if you notice what he said in verse 4, all you're doing is feeding birds. Verse 4 again. It came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them. In verses 5 and 6, you have another category of individuals that are referred to as stony ground. Stony ground, not much earth here, and there can be no deep plowing, and there are no permanent results. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. In verse 7, there's another group that are likened to being among thorns. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. No fruit at all. But then when you come to verse 8, other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. Now, there's several things I want to mention here about this good ground. First of all, what was it that made this ground good? What made this ground different from the other ground where the seed was sown? Well, it would be preparation of the ground, cultivation of the ground, deep plowing there, and the ground was made ready to receive the word. And fruit was brought forth. Notice that the scripture specifically says, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. There's a great lesson here in the latter part of verse 8 about those who are good ground where the seed of the gospel does come, and the seed is received, and there is fruit that is brought forth. There is a difference in every Christian. We're all not the same. All will bring forth fruit, but not necessarily all the same. It says here in verse 8, some 30, some 60, and some 100. A difference. A difference is made here. Keeping this in mind, look in the book of Luke, if you would. In the book of Luke and in chapter 8, Luke and in chapter 8, in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience, meaning endurance. Now I want you to notice there is a marked difference here. There's a difference in that which is stony ground, that which is thorns, and that which is good ground. And the difference is made by the Lord. Now, I want to go to the book of Romans, where it is very evident that there is a difference in individuals. And Paul's question was, who maketh thee to differ from another? Again, by nature, there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in the life of individuals, There is a difference that has happened in their life. Something happened and made them different. Romans in chapter 9. I'm going to begin in verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Why did Pharaoh even exist? Why was he even born into that royal family? Why did this individual become ruler of the land of Egypt? Well, the Lord said, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Then you have the word that. A little bit further in the verse, you have the word that again. Two purposes are stated here. That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And then, by inspiration, Paul wrote, therefore, a conclusion is drawn here. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now again, the question, who maketh thee to differ? If you are a true believer, what made you different from one who has a hard heart? Who is hardened through and through. It's God that makes the difference. Having this stated in verse 18, that he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth, there is the anticipation of opposition that a question would be raised. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? That's a very good question. Many times we encounter people that contradict the word of God, question the word of God, and they sit in judgment upon God as if they are over God, trying to determine if what God does is right or wrong. And here, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Greeks. Now, no honest reader can read these words and deny that it is the Lord that makes a difference. It is the Lord that makes the difference. Back in verse 15 again. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Keeping that in mind, look at verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. I can say without reservation, and it's not a politically correct statement, but it is a true statement, God discriminates. He does not treat everyone equally. Anyone that knows anything of the grace of God can understand that. He does not treat everyone equally. In verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? It should be crystal clear here that it is the potter that makes the difference. The potter makes the difference. There's three things in verse 21 that are very important. You have the potter, you have the clay, and then you have two types of vessels that are made. Now, when you look at these two vessels that are made, in one is a vessel unto honor, and another is a vessel unto dishonor. Keeping in mind that both of these vessels had their origin in the same lump of clay. Now, in that same lump of clay, in verse 21, there was no difference. It's one lump of clay. But the difference is made by the potter, what he does with the clay. In the mind of the potter, in the working of the potter, it is at his sole discretion what he is going to make out of that clay. There is a difference in the vessel that is made unto honor and the vessel that is made unto dishonor. And the difference lies in the will and mind of the potter. Again, I'll say in verse 21, consider that same lump there, the lump of humanity, but the potter makes a difference. The potter makes a difference. If you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 11, there is a difference in the character. There is a difference in the nature. There is a difference in the manner of living between the righteous and the wicked. There's a difference. Psalm 11 and in verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. That's a strong statement. The Lord hates. A doctrine that's not heard much in our generation. But it is a true statement. It is in the Word of God, and there is a marked difference here. In verse 6, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Look in Psalm 7. In Psalm 7 and in verse 11. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Let me go to Proverbs. In Proverbs 15, In Proverbs 15, verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Just their thoughts. You remember the Bible tells us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, there is no faith in the wicked. And the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. There is a difference here. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. A difference. Look in the book of Malachi. In the book of Malachi and in chapter 3. In Malachi and in chapter 3, let's read verse 16 through verse 18. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Again, there is a difference here. Verse 18 speaks of both the righteous and the wicked. Two distinct groups. In verse 19, three things are stated here that the righteous do. Verse 19. They fear the Lord, they speak often one to another, and they meditate, they think upon the name of the Lord. Now surely these are a separated, distinct people. None of these things can be truly said of the wicked. That's just not true of the wicked, what is stated here. And if you look again at verse 16, you have three things that the Lord did. The Lord hearkened, he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. Verse 17, you have two things that the Lord said. Note in verse 17, the Lord said, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. The Lord said, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The Lord deals with those who fear him as with sons who serve him. And again in verse 18, those two distinct groups, the righteous and the wicked, those who serve the Lord and those who do not. It's very evident, not only from Scripture, just from observation in our lives, that there is a difference between individuals. And the difference is made by the Lord. You would be turning to Matthew chapter 13. One day in the future, a day known only to God, There will be a final separation of all of those who differ. Those that are different are going to be finally separated. In Matthew chapter 13, you have the parable of the wheat and the tares. I want you to notice in verse 30 of Matthew 13, let both, referring to the wheat and the tares, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This final separation. I won't go into it now, but contrary to what many believe, the tares are gathered up first. That's pretty evident here. It's plainly stated here. But notice verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Notice that difference. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that are offend, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their fathers. Who hath ears to hear, let them hear. The parable of the wheat and the tares makes this difference very, very clear. In the same chapter, you have another parable beginning in verse 47. It's the parable of the net. In verse 47, he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down, gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. A separation. Look in Matthew 25, if you would. In Matthew 25, in this final separation, we have, again, two different groups of people, the sheep and the goats. There's a difference. There's a difference in these. Verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then, that's an important word, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, keeping in mind nations are made up of individuals. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Who makes the difference? Who makes the difference? I'm reminded of some that Jesus said that in the latter day he will tell them, I never knew you. What a blessing to be known of the Lord. Who makes thee to differ? I'm going to go to Ephesians and in chapter 1. The difference that I'm speaking of this evening is surely a difference that is not made by man, but is made by God. The root cause of the difference is the grace of God in divine election. Now that statement, I'm sure, will shock some that may hear it. But nonetheless, it is true, and I base that upon Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now consider what you just read. Without the sovereign choice of verse 4, you would never experience the spiritual blessings of verse 3. You would never experience them. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as he hath chosen us. You remove the election, remove the choosing, you have removed all access to all the spiritual blessings that are mentioned here. If you are saved and you enjoy spiritual blessings, you ought to thank God for sovereign grace. You ought to thank. One more place, and I'm going to close. Romans in chapter 3. Romans, and in chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. There is no difference, I'll say again, by nature. Those who are made different, it's not anything in themselves. Verse 9, it's not because you're better than anyone else. God saved you because of his grace. Grace. In grace, he has loved you with an everlasting love. Even when you were dead in trespasses and sin, even when your mind was totally at enmity with God, he loved you. In grace, he chose you unto salvation. In grace, he sent his Son into this world to be your substitute, to suffer and die for you. And it was in grace that the Holy Spirit came and quickened you, made you alive in Christ. It was all of grace. What difference that there is, and there is a great difference in the wicked and the righteous. The difference is made by God. Who maketh you to differ? What a thankful people the saved ought to be.